I tell you what, if you like shark attacks happening to one person more than once, then this was the show for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Robin, you introduced us to an incredible man, been attacked by sharks twice.
I know, and still goes back in the water.
Mm. Well, you remember we were saying that it's only six down in the list of animals that kill you in Australia, like horses. They're the real dark horse. Those horses,
maybe
kill
that's
there.
What that phrase means. Be careful of the dark horse, it'll kill you.
Oh, yeah. They get hold of you on the shoulder and they shake you around, give you a death roll.
The Rich Uncle Mal on as well, and then some incredible reporting in New Farm about a sighting of a Married at First Sight contestant that's still in the show, but was found to be out, Robin, with somebody that wasn't in the show. That was quite incredible.
Shock horror in gym gear.
Yeah. Have we ruined the whole of Married at First Sight finale?
No, you're all good.
Oh,
and if we have, who cares? That's an awesome scoop.
We also confirmed that the Queensland teen who jumped into croc-infested water is as dumb as he looks by the way he sounds. That's still to come as well. Watch out for those horses.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch up for the new fragrance, Diesel Bad. Available now at Chemist Warehouse.
There it is, the Canberra Raiders horn that we give to our most famous Canberra person, our PM, Rich Uncle Mal. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you guys. It's nice to hear the Canberra Raiders horn, but of course I'm a Roosters fan.
Oh,
that's who I've been told to barrack for down the eastern suburbs there. Make a try. Good on you. And convert it into offshore bonds, hide them in the Cayman Islands and reduce your tax liability. Oh, sorry, I've mixed my metaphor there, haven't I? Good morning to you. Hello to you, Marto, Ed and Robin. Always a pleasure, never a chore.
Oh, look, Rich Uncle Mal, there's been a bump in the polls for you. Are you happy?
Well, of course I am. Last night I cooked a beef bourguignon and matched that with a beautiful 1950s Bordeaux. And I tell you what, we got a bump in the polls last night, if you read my drift.
Oh,
yes, it's all to do with my new energy initiative. And all I can say now is hydro, hydro, hydro. And when I say hydro, I don't mean a crop under lights in the spare bedroom out at Logan.
No, of course not.
I mean renewable clean power. And the great thing is I didn't even invent the scheme. It was thought up decades ago. All I have to do now is own other great Australian icons. I'm thinking about putting a harbour bridge across Sydney Harbour.
Good idea.
See what I'm doing there?
Yeah.
I'm cracking gags. Now, just before I move off energy, I'd just like to say I quite liked it when Josh Frydenberg had his bum handed to him by Jay Weatherall last week. Wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
Poor Josh. You've got to feel for a man who's going bald in five places concurrently.
Yes.
Jay, Rich Uncle Mal, I believe you snuck into town for Adele on Sunday night.
Yes, we like our music, Lucy and I, and we're big Adele fans. I'm a tremendous Adele fan. There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, bringing me out of the dark. Tremendous stuff. And she really did fire up. A couple of young men proposed to one another on the stage, which everyone thought was tremendously romantic. And I just want to remember to remind them that it's illegal for gays to marry. So stop it. It's just upsetting some people in the church. Now, there were men and women dancing. It was very similar scenes to my campaign stuff on election night. Didn't we get out of jail there?
Well, listen, big weekend this weekend. Are you excited about the start of the AFL footy season?
Well, like I said, it's my opportunity to be a regular guy on the street. You know, just because I live in a $50 million Italianate palazzo, people think I'm out of touch.
Yeah.
Now, my speechwriter's written this for me. Football and politics have got a lot in common. We're a team prepared to sacrifice all for the common objective. Well, not sacrifice everything. Where is he? I'm not going to sacrifice my superannuation entitlement.
No.
For goodness sake. All right, let's get back to it. We're prepared to do the little things, the one percenters, and it's 1 week at a time, and if you vote for tits short and you're out of your mind. There you go. Finish it with a rhyming couplet.
That'll do nicely. Rich Uncle Mal, thank you for your time.
That's always a pleasure, guys. And before I go, I'd just like to say the Triple M rocks Moreton Island, Marto's second home.
Wow, beautiful. Thanks, Mal.
See ya.
Bye now.
Okay, guys, so I was sitting at a football game talking to my mate Ken, who loves to do scuba diving, and he was saying that a friend of his is recovering from his second shark attack. Yes, this guy has been got by a shark on two separate occasions.
Jesus.
I know. His name is Craig, and I want to hear this story, and I'm sure you guys do too. Hey, Craig.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, mate, are you delicious? Are you just a delicious person?
Apparently not, because I got spat out twice. So,
let's go through them. First occasion was where, when, how, why?
The first time was about 10 years ago, and probably that attack was a little bit of my fault, because we were trying to attract the sharks in at that time. So what you do is you crackle a bottle, a plastic bottle, underwater, and that makes the sharks think that you've got a fish in distress. And they come in closer, which is great for taking photos.
Oh, good Lord, like a burly trail.
Yeah, pretty well much. But if you do it right, they don't come in too close. But I didn't see this one come off from my left-hand side. And unfortunately, it managed to come in and grab me by the shoulder and give me a bit of a throw around. So,
what kind of shark was it?
That was an oceanic silver tip.
Right, how many stitches?
Okay.
Quite a few in the chest.
200?
The BC and that got shredded a bit, but wasn't too bad. I was very lucky on that occasion.
Yeah.
Not so lucky the second time.
Oh, well, that's a rookie error. Let's talk about the second time.
Yeah, the second time was with was only about 7 weeks ago now. It was up on a reef just off Torres Strait there, and my wife and I were just scuba diving along the reef. My wife, Camilla, was looking at two silver tips up on the reef, and the bull shark just came up over the reef to my left and straight into me.
A bull shark nailed you.
You're lucky to survive. So what injuries did you get?
When it hit me, just before it hit, I saw its mouth opening. I was very fortunate because it was going for my chest cavity around the body. And I just saw it in time to be throw my arm around to protect myself, and the arm went down the mouth, and then it grabbed the chest as well. But the arm stopped it from actually biting through my body, I guess.
Oh.
So very lucky.
Did you lose your arm?
No. When it hit, I really thought it was over. The little pinky and the index finger got pretty well shredded. You know, when it hit, and the second after that, the fingers were hanging off, the arm was hanging down, the forearm was bleeding profusely, the chest was bleeding, the bicep was bleeding, you know, quite bad.
Hey, sorry, tell us what happened. Were you eyeball to eyeball with it?
Yeah, I was eyeball to eyeball with it. But once again, I think my underarm deodorant deterred the shark.
He spat you out. Craig's had been attacked by a shark twice. Now, you know, they say things come in threes. You're an avid scuba diver. You're an avid photographer, obviously. Has it made you go, you know what, I've had my two, I've got away with it. The third one, I might not be so lucky. I'm out.
No. No, I've done about 10,000 dives, or even more, actually. So
oh, God.
I'm a realist when it comes to that. And the odds of getting hit by a shark, I know mine are pretty high, but I was reading the stats, you know, and I heard that there's more chance of getting hit by a champagne cork and killed.
Well, be careful around weddings, Craig.
So, Craig, how many stitches did you get in this second one?
There was 30 in the bicep, about 36 in the fingers, another 23 in the chest. I don't know what internally.
Are you operational again?
A long way yet before I get full mobility of the arm.
Well, mate, Craig DeWitt is your name, and you survived two shark attacks, and thanks for speaking to us today. I wonder if anybody else, it's quite an incredible story, Robin and Marta. I wonder if anyone else has had an experience with a shark and lived to tell the tale that's listening to us right now. 133353, have you ever had a very close run-in or just had a little munched on you? Has anyone else had an experience, an up-close and personal experience with a shark? Craig, thanks so much for telling us your story.
No problem. Okay, thanks, guys.
Have you had a run-in with a shark? Marto, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M. Welcome to Tuesday. Doing it for Diesel Bad. Top of 29 degrees, cloudy. A shower's around this morning. Just heard from a man named Craig DeWitt, who was unlucky enough to be attacked by a shark twice. Taking your calls with run-ins with sharks.
Do you know this is the number two phobia, I think, in Australia? Number one is talking in public. But people have this really illogical fear of being nabbed by a shark.
And the people most likely, surfers, they don't really care. It's amazing.
That's true.
Isn't that interesting?
Now, Lee from Browns Plains. Lee, have you had contact with sharks?
Oh, I have. Back in the mid-80s, I used to be a nipper down at Miami Surf Club down on the coast. Okay. And all the grey nurse sharks used to like getting around the headland there. And we'd be out swimming and they'd come up and give you a bit of a bump and a bit of a tickle with the nose and realise that you weren't a fish and bugger off. So
What do you mean, a bump? They just sort of nose you?
Yeah, they just sort of come up and give you a bit of a bump. I mean, you know, grey nurses are a bit of a docile shark, so, you know, they don't expend energy unnecessarily.
There's not so many around now, is there? Now it's all bull sharks, and they don't bump.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, you know, the bull sharks are bloody coming in and taking over the territory. I mean, grey nurses are an endangered species now, so... You know, but they're a really docile shark, a lovely shark. The only shark that actually doesn't have to keep swimming to breathe.
Ah, good on you, Lee. An encounter and a fact. You are right on, Lee. Well done, buddy. Okay, so that's a grey nurse. That's how do I... Okay, so if you see a grey nurse shark, they're probably not going to bite you. That's good to know.
Hey, can I give you one? One, two, three, four, five, six, sixth down on the list. Sharks deaths in Australia each year are only sixth on the list for number of animals that kill people.
What's number one?
Spiders first.
No, incorrect.
Which one?
No spiders here. Horses.
Oh.
Horses, one. Cows, second. Dogs, third. Kangaroos. Bees, a fifth. And then sharks.
Well, there
you go.
What
are we scared of?
I don't know, Mark. Mark of North Lakes, have you had an encounter with a shark?
I'll head to Drew first.
Oh, sorry, Drew.
Drewy.
Hey, how you going?
What happened, mate?
Surfing down in Kingscliff about 12 years ago. Chucked my board in because I'm a crap surfer and was just lying there in the waves, looking at the beach. Turned around, sort of, and there was about a 7 or 8 foot tiger shark or bull shark right behind me.
What?
Going parallel to the beach. Absolutely shat myself and tried to run on water like Jesus into the beach. Got sucked back closer to the bugger. Got into the beach, walked along the beach with another guy. I reckon it would have been, you know, big 8 foot, 9 foot shark until it surfed down into the gutter. Went back up to the unit, 8 o'clock in the morning. Smashed a beer, lit a ciggy. My wife said, "Darling, I know it's holidays, but this is a bit crazy." So, told her the story, and then when I was talking to the locals, they said, "Oh, mate, you know, you never surf right of the surf club down there. It's full of sharks."
Oh,
yes, there you go.
Thanks for the heads up.
So I'll put that on a chalkboard,
please. Next time. Now it's Mark of North Lakes. Tell us about your encounter with shark.
Morning, crew. Was towed around Pumice Stone Passage, and I didn't see it, but I come off, and as I was sitting there bobbing around like a cork, he was running around me like a dog.
Were you water skiing, did you say?
Yes.
Oh, God. Whoa.
That's everyone's worst nightmare, falling off a ski and just bobbling around.
Well, it was the last time I ever did one ski. I always went two ski after that. Did one.
Yeah,
I'd probably go two skis in a shark cage myself, Mark. Might not be as fun, but it might be a little bit safer.
Hello, Trudy of Sheldon. What happened with you and a shark?
G'day, Robin. Well, I came up nice and personal encounter inside a cave. I was diving off the coast of Hawaii many years ago, and we went along the seabed into the mouth of the cave underwater. Came up and it was just like a Jacques Cousteau movie. It was just amazing with all the shoulder fish and all the rest of it. I was with a dive master, had a look to the side, saw a bit of movement, gave him a tug to point out, and we went over and here was a shark inside the cave with us. So it was asleep, it was moving as they do, and this dive master was an adrenaline junkie, so we went up to give it a cuddle, and the shark spooked and took off, thankfully. And but you know, it's not only the fact that they can bite you; it's the fact that they're so strong that they can whack the mask off your face, and they can, you know, like we came out without any damage, but grinning like adrenaline junkies. It was amazing.
How did you know it was asleep?
Because it was moving, but it wasn't reacting to anything. It was just facing away and I don't know.
Shark eye.
It just wasn't. It wasn't eating. It wasn't chasing anything. It was just fairly stable.
Wow, that's incredible that you've seen that, Trudy. Because we all know that they, you know, have to keep moving. Did it have a little eye patch on? Did it have one of those things they give you on the aeroplanes?
Yeah, it had a little pink fluffy one.
Little pink fluffy one. That's how you know.
Thanks, Trudy.
Marta, Ed, and Robin on the new Triple M.
Now, as you guys know, I've got three sons. They're in year 12, year 10, and my young fella started high school for the first time, and he's in grade 7. So over the last couple of weeks, as term one has unfolded, it's a brand new school. He went there with not knowing really anyone. He's got to meet some really cool friends, and it's been really nice for me as mum to just see him kind of blossom, although his brothers are accusing him of being a 12-y, which is apparently the worst thing you can possibly be when you're a teenager. But he's met this new family. Did you not know that? A 12-y.
Well, that must be because now grade 7 is part of high school. Yep. There are a heap of 12-ies.
Oh, yeah. Apparently annoying as. Yeah. Worst thing ever.
Yeah, right, eh?
Anyway, my young fella has been making new friends, and I'm not going to dob in the actual family, but this is the world's cutest story. And one of the kids came over for a sleepover on the weekend, so I'm getting to meet him and his parents and his siblings. So this fella is the middle kid in the family, and he's got an older brother and a younger sister.
Yeah.
And he was telling me with great pride how he and his brother had been trying to fool his little five-year-old sister, because they'd been in cohorts together, and they had told her that when they were little, they were actually born girls. But when you turn 6, you change genders if you're not good.
Anyway,
this poor little girl whose 6th birthday is next week is terrified of her birthday because she doesn't want to become a boy.
She better behave herself. That's obviously what they've been telling her.
No, they've been telling her that you have to do things for your brothers.
Oh, my God.
That's brilliant.
So she's been a complete slave. This poor little treasure, who's the cutest little girl with blonde pigtails, been running around, forced to, like, pick up dirty shoes, collect the dog poo, do all the jobs that her older brothers are supposed to do, because they're telling her that unless she does that her birthday, she'll become a boy.
Oh, this is Now, I grew up with a brother. And this is normal. I grew up with a brother 8 years younger than me. We lived in the same bedroom till I was 14. Can you imagine, you know, those 14-year-olds, you know, when you get to that age?
And, yeah, you smell a lot.
No, well, the bed moves sometimes late. You're on your own. Okay. We're sharing a room. And I'm 14 going on 15, all right? And he asked me about what was going on over in my bed. He's 6. All right? I had to threaten him with death. I said, if you tell Mum anything about this, I'm going to kill you. Like, this is what goes on. It's just horrible to
think.
What
did you say was happening?
Yeah, what did you say was happening?
Earthquake.
Oh, no, no, no. I just said I was just scratching.
Scratching, mate. That is a very vigorous scratch, Greg.
If he wasn't 6, he would have suggested that it was very... All right, let's stop it right now.
What an outrageous...
That's an awesome little insight into your life,
Greg. I can just imagine my brother
Mum
driving into Brisbane right now, smiling.
Yeah. But I think it's a good conversation to have, and I reckon people have got absolute horror stories of the worst things that you did to your siblings.
What about
siblings.
Done to you as well? It's time to come clean. What did you do to your siblings?
What did you tell them? Here comes Amanda. Amanda from Manly West, what was the worst thing you did to your siblings or that you had done to you?
My big brother, after having watched Nightmare on Elm Street, decided to pull a Freddy Krueger on me, and he sticky taped knives to his hands. To one of his hands and chased me around the house.
Did he catch you?
That's scarring.
Oh, probably not without some significant screaming.
See, that's nasty. That's not what that is.
It's pretty nasty.
That's genuinely nasty. Can't
I was a little scared for a little while of him after that.
That's demented.
That's funny, though.
Hey, it is good.
Thanks, Amanda. Mal of Nudgee, what was the awful thing that you did to your siblings or had done to you?
My horrible older brother, when I was very small, made me eat dried mud, telling me it was chocolate, and then washed it down with a cordial drink made of dishwashing liquid.
Only the once, Mal?
Only the once. Laughed. Yeah, I laughed.
With bubbles coming out of your mouth.
Well, the bubbles made it look very attractive, so this is nice.
You've got to clean up that mud you've had. So you've got to drink something to try and wash it down
nicely.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay, well, there you go. A bit of food, a bit of Freddy Krueger, a bit of food, delicious meals. What about Steve? Steve from Wilson. What did your brother do to you, mate?
Hi, guys. It wasn't actually to me, but back in the early 80s, my brother had just come out of the police academy, and my sister, who was about 13 at the time, was showing the baton and the handcuffs and everything. She said, oh, the handcuffs, are they real? And he said, yeah, they're real. And she said, how do they work? He said, I'll show you. And he decided to handcuff her to the Hills Hoist and hose her for the next 10 minutes.
Yeah, a bit of Abu Ghraib at your house. Abu Ghraib at your house. Yeah,
he's now Inspector of Police. Well played. Good Lord.
Belinda of Cooper's Plains, what's happened?
Well, I wanted to, my brothers probably wanted to chuck me to the crocodiles after this, but I used to negotiate to play dolls for a fair amount of time with him and then say I would play trucks. It goes for like, Barbies would go for about 2 hours. And at the end of that, I go, oh, I just don't feel like playing anymore. And so I would play it all.
See, that's just, how do you play Barbie? I've always wanted to know this. How do you play Barbie? What do you do? Does she, I don't know, meet
dress
a
her up.
Guy in a bar and then finds yeah. out that he's a creep and then dates his mate? Like, what is, how do you play Barbies?
Well, yeah, you basically create stories around, you know, things and what outfit you're going to need and change them and yes. oh, there's an emergency change and then you've got to, you know, get them wow. somewhere else. And
yeah, wow. I'm with you. Belinda, and the more clothes you had with Barbie, you know, the more kudos you had with your girlfriends.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we grew up pretty isolated. We were out on a farm, and so the correspondent. So he was also my my school, like, best friend to school, is my brother and I, and that was it. And yeah, so we he had no one else.
How do you get on these days, Belinda?
Yeah, we're pretty close now.
Wow. Yeah, that's nice. There you go. That teaches you something.
We can't get to everyone, but we can get to John from Cooperoo. What did you do, mate?
Hey, yeah, thanks for the show. Yeah, my younger brother, it was his birthday, and he got a brand new watch for his birthday. Oh. And, of course, I wanted to have a go at wearing it, and he wouldn't allow me to wear it. And we were riding along on our push bikes, and I threw a stick straight through his front wing wheel. He crashed, smashed his watch. And needless to say, I got a flogging from Mum and Dad.
Yeah. See, that's justice. I don't know of what sort.
Swift justice.
How old were you, John?
I was about 11 and he was about 9.
All right. I just close my eyes and think your first move wasn't to go over and help him. Your first move, you bolted, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I stayed away until I had to come home for tea that night. I knew what was coming.
I bet you did. Did he get a new watch or was that it?
My younger brother got a new watch, yeah.
Good. It was
you
replaced.
You got that watch for your next birthday.
No, that watch was gone.
Oh, right. Okay, thanks, John. Okay. DJ from Marsden. This is the all-time classic. What did you do to your sibling, DJ?
Oh, well, when my sister was about 6, I was about 10, I convinced her for about 2.5 years that she was adopted.
Did you?
And if she told anybody, then the adopting agency will come back and take her away.
Oh, my God.
And she believed you, obviously, for 2.5 years.
Oh, yeah. Didn't I cop a flogging afterwards, eh?
And how did it come to light, DJ? How did your ruse finally come to light?
Oh, there was a big argument, and my sister, in front of my parents, turned around and said, well, what do you care? I'm adopted anyway.
What a great day in your family that was.
Then what happened?
Well, I had to come clean to Mum and Dad, and, yeah, it wasn't pretty after that. But,
have you done much extortion work since then?
Oh, only to my sister.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right.
Do you get on with her now?
Like petrol and fire, we get along really well. When she was even younger, I tried to swap her for a kitten, a little white kitten with red eyes. It would have been a good deal.
Yeah, it sounds like a cute kitten, mate. Like a very cute kitten.
Hey, listen, I think we all realise, well, I keep getting the reports, the battle between free-to-air TV, between Channel 9, Channel 7, very tight.
Yes, you know, My Kitchen Rules, Married at First Sight.
First Sight, that battle's tight, the news is tight, their current affairs shows is tight. And as you know, when there is a tight fight in anything in life, it's little things, like football teams will tell you. It's the one percenters, the little things you just need to tighten up and get right. Next thing you know, you emerge the victor. What I'd like to say is that I think they've really started to nail it. The voiceover guys, the guys that promote the programs. Have a listen to the current affair guy, and you can't fault him.
What a pile of shit. From buffets to bed bugs, some passengers were even cruising for a bruising.
Oh, my God. How good is that?
Did you say what a pile of?
Pile of shit. All right, but cruising for excellent. A bruising. That's the, and have a listen. Like to, well, have a listen. So he's going all right, but have a listen to the MKR guy, My Kitchen Rules guy, on fire as well. Some of the double entendres.
Previously on kitchen roof.
How good is this challenge?
Teams rose to the occasion for a carnival of canapes. For those who didn't float the boat, it was sudden death.
They were cooking on a ship. So it seems to be a big ship theme.
Is that what we're doing?
Who do you give it to? The ACA guy?
What a pile of shit.
Just for that
what
pun.
What a night.
Just for that pun alone.
What a night.
Definitely. And it's also an incredibly accurate description of most of Channel 9's lineup too.
Yes.
What a pile of shit.
It is the new
stuff.
Triple M.
What's the guy's name? Lee DePore. We'll just call him Innisfail Croc Fool. Does that sound all right for a tag? And as we were just saying, Ed, it was all to try to impress a backpacker. He'd met her at the hostel. They'd had a couple of drinks. He said that he had a theory and it was just a showing off. Do we all know how you show off to backpackers? You tell them about kangaroos and you'll do
local
anything
stuff.
To...
Do you?
Yeah, local
I'm
stuff.
Learning a lot this morning.
Mm. Local stuff.
Well, he said, if you don't, you see those signs down the river, they're only for backpackers because crocs around here don't eat locals.
Yeah.
Because the crocs hang out together and they go, listen, if anyone falls in, if it's an Aussie, don't touch them. That's just an unspoken croc rule. Yeah. Anyway, so when he did fall in, Channel 9 got hold of him last night. When he did fall in, Jesus, what a moment.
I was singing, I'm gone. Swam back to the stairs with one floppy arm and pulled myself out.
Right, now listen, he's being accused all everywhere you look of being not the sharpest tool in the shed, Robin.
No, really?
Now the thing that has to be remembered is that the first incident took place after 10 cups of goon. And then this, when seeing him in his hospital bed, where he's probably been on some painkillers.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a reasonable question from the Channel 9 reporter, but I think in the circumstances, maybe the timing was slightly unfair.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
Yeah, I do.
What's your response to that?
Not really. I'm just, I don't know, trying to prove a point.
Oh, God, dear. I wish she asked him for 13 times 13 right there.
He sounds like he's on Endone.
Oh, yeah, because he's in terrible pain. Broke two of bones. Yeah,
but it does do weird things to your brain.
We should ease off. Should ease off.
Why?
Because, you know, he's been nailed by the croc and he doesn't want to kill him. I like people who aren't vindictive.
I don't want that crocodile harmed. And I want it released back into the world. And I want it to have a happy life.
So I can have another crack the next time there's a back.
See you next Saturday.
He's had a taste of me. He doesn't like me.
Shouldn't he wants it to have a happy life. Now we should say also that this was all for love. It was for love.
Let's not forget that.
It was a backpacker involved. Love.
And Robin, backpacker love, as we keep saying, is the most pure of all loves.
Mm.
Because because
they got to move on
exactly. It's multiracial and it's quick, and it's no consequences. Mm.
They're either on their way to Cairns or to Brisbane. See, he'd be doing this on a quiet most weekends, wouldn't he? So he lives in town or whatever, and he goes. That's his watering hole. Goes down to the backpackers hostel, their bar there. Yeah. Picks one off. Tells her the story of the croc.
Seriously, a thing? Like,
of course, it's a thing.
No, don't look at me like that. I have never gone out to a bar to pick up a backpacker.
Do you want to go out tonight? We could go to
Down Under Bar. Oh, how do we know that?
And then what are you two going to do?
Don't you remember when the Origin team went there one night?
How long ago? All this stuff I've never heard of.
The Down Under Bar.
No, I know the Down Under Bar.
Drive past there on the way to work one morning and you'll see what there's a lot of temporary love going on inside there.
So are you telling me that you both partook in temporary backpacker love?
Only after, so similar to Lee.
That is horrific.
How many drinks did you have by that point?
About 10 cups again.
That's what you need. That's how love comes on that quickly.
They did it, Marto. Finally, Australia, miracle. They didn't win, but they stood up. They stood up and they said, no, we will not be beaten. Australia got themselves a draw in the test match last night. And to take us through it, is our favourite former wicket keeper, now current owner-operator of Hoppy's Hand Car Wash.
Love that
Good
place.
Morning, Ian Healy.
Hey, Heels.
Hey, Heels. Did you stay up for it?
Yeah, well, it's perfect in India, isn't it? The time's fine. You know, it's just past my bedtime, but it finishes about 9.
You get to miss Married at First Sight, legitimately saying, I've got to watch this. Hey, mate.
We were flicking.
Yes, of course, you say that. Hey, who was the best for you? Was it Hanscom? Was it Marsh?
Oh, hard to split those two, you know. I thought both played unnaturally and had such massive challenges to face, and they did it with a whole lot of security. I think it's changed generations of batting to come. You know, it's really inspired the Australian ranks of young batsmen, I reckon.
Wow. Why? I don't understand that. Why heels?
Well, we've never been able to do it so convincingly over there. And if you had watched Ravi Jadeja bowl the last five overs the night before to Matt Renshaw and David Warner, you'd go, oh, no way, we're not going to survive tomorrow. And they did it. You know, they all fought extremely hard. They took a long, long time without making an error in conditions that, you know, traditionally Australian cricket hasn't survived in. And so that was a sensational batting performance yesterday by that team.
Heels, it's been a very spiteful series so far, and a lot of people grabbing their shoulders to make fun of Virat Kohli's injury, which I thought was funny. He's not, you know, it's only a mild injury. Do you like when they're getting stuck into each other like this? To me, it makes it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, well, I thought this game was better. I thought this game was, you know, sarcastic and humorous rather than aggressive and in-your-face and quite often face-to-face aggression. So, you know, Kohli, the Indians were still having a go in the last over of last night at Matthew Wade. But it seemed to be quite funny. They were all laughing, and there might have been some good comments floating around. Wade survived and didn't get himself out. So I thought this test was acceptable. The last two tests, unacceptable, but they got away with it.
Hey, is there such a thing as momentum from test to test? Like, I'm claiming the Australians have now got all the psychological momentum. Is that possible to take it into the fourth one, which I think starts on Saturday?
Yeah, it's, they said last night, 4 days' time. So, and it's a totally different environment. They're going to the foothills of the Himalayas to play this one. It's going to be, you know, down to 20 degrees, they were saying. So it's a different environment. Yes, it is possible to take momentum. I don't think this is the case in this instance, though. I think they've taken some more confidence to know that they can get through such sessions as yesterday, and they know that they only have to draw. So India have to beat us now in this test match. If Australia win or draw it, they keep the trophy, which will be huge. So, no, we're more confident, but not real momentum. I think the momentum's still 50-50.
All right, Ian Healy, from Channel 9, an avid Married at First Sight watcher. We found that out this morning, and that's well done.
Hey, Heels.
Elaney and the little Ipswich bloke are going all right.
Simon, look at you go, Heels.
That's right. Big Andy's got, you know, he stayed with it, didn't he?
Yeah, with Vanessa. Awesome, Heels. Awesome. I'm so impressed.
You've changed, Ian Healy. You have my friend. You have changed.
Metrosexual, mate.
Metrosexual. Yes, you are.
Devoted Channel 9 employee.
And we've only got one TV. Nah.
Cheers, mate. Channel 9, Hoppy's Head, Wash Cafe. Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Marto, Ed, Robin, the new Triple M.
We have been noticing that we don't have any cicadas left. And it was a point that I brought to the table because we're missing this sound.
No, we're not. Where I was on the weekend, there was plenty of it.
Well, there were on Morton, but I'm just wondering if something has happened to the cicada population. So,
time for an expert.
Yeah,
here it is.
It's time for an expert. Dr. Lindsay Poppett, who is curator of entomology at the Queensland Museum.
Wow.
Good morning, Dr. Lindsay.
Good morning, Marto, Ed and Robin. Great to be with you this morning.
Well, hello, Poppet. Where are all the cicadas? I saw two. I killed one that landed on my head at Morton on the weekend. Is it just in the city they're not here?
Well, yeah, it really depends on where you are. They sort of come out in dribs and drabs. But by this time, it's getting towards late March, so we're really reaching the end of the cicada season anyway.
All right, here we go. Now, Dr. Lindsay, curator of entomology at Queensland Museum, talking about cicadas. Now, Robin claimed that she used to be a cicada collector in her youth, and she laid out which of the types of cicadas were the most rare and the most valuable. Now, in your expert, I don't want to tell you which one she said, but in your expert opinion,
what is the rarest and therefore most valuable on the black market, i.e. school set? What is the most valuable type of cicada?
Well, people often speak about names like black prince and things like that being rare.
That's what she said, mate. But what do you reckon?
Well, I think the rarest form of cicada to find is a blue moon, which is the blue pigmented version of the greengrocer.
We haven't even heard of the blue one yet, Lindsay.
That's a myth, Poppet. Yeah. Are the greengrocers, Dr. Lindsay Poppet, are the greengrocers fairly common, are they?
Yeah, they're not as common around Brisbane as they are down in Sydney. They're a big phenomenon in Sydney because that's sort of in the heart of their territory. So there's many different colour forms of this one that we call generically the greengrocer. The greengrocer is obviously the green one. Then you've got this other one called the Yellow Monday, which is yellow, and the blue moon is blue.
And the red eye.
Is that red?
Yes. The red eye, yes. It's also more common in Sydney than in Brisbane.
Are they protected, Lindsay? Like if you have to thong one, you know, if they're annoying the hell out of you inside the house, are you get arrested for that?
I think you'd be unlikely to. I mean, most people would probably...
unlikely. What are you doing, Lindsay? How many people are currently doing a stretch for cicadas?
For hitting a greengrocer at one blue moon.
Anyway. That's awesome, mate. That's great. Okay, you are the expert, Dr. Lindsay Poppet, Curator of Entomology at Queensland Museum.
So the season's almost over. What season are we coming into, Poppet?
Not much for winter. It's pretty quiet for cicadas, but, I mean, usually in winter you get a few moths flying and things, but it's summertime. It's insect time, you know, when you start, you know, slapping things that are landing on your face, that's really around when the hot weather comes.
So, there you know. All right, Dr. Lindsay Poppet, the Curator of Entomology at Queensland Museum, telling us all about the cicada. Thanks, mate.
My pleasure.
Guys, the AFL women's season is coming to an end, and the Brisbane Lions, very well done to them, first successful AFL club in Brisbane for a while, have made the grand final, which is great. Wonderful. But there's a problem. There's a problem. They can't play at the Gabba. They can't play at the Gabba, so they're for a number of different reasons, concerts and cricket and all sorts, but there's a bit of a furor now that the game has been moved to Metricon Stadium and will be played as a curtain raiser to the Gold Coast Suns match in the men's AFL, which is going to take place there. It doesn't seem like it's been the best handled situation in the world. And joining us now, Brisbane Lions CEO Greg Swan. Good morning, mate.
Morning, Ed. How are you?
Well, first things first, congratulations. Nice to have a Brisbane team in the grand final.
Yeah, look, the girls are fantastic. We, you know, at the start of the season, I think we were the rank outsiders and we've gone through undefeated. And, you know, they've been fantastic, the girls. They play with magnificent spirit and competitiveness. And, yeah, they've deserved to get the home final. So that was the unfortunate bit. We were hopeful that we could get it on at the Gabba because, you know, there's a lot of interest in the girls. And we thought we'd, you know, get 25,000 plus there. But unfortunately, the ground got re-sown and it's not quite ready to play this game. So we've had to move it to Metricon. So, yeah, look, a bit disappointing. But, look, you know, we have to make the best of what we've, you know, what the situation.
What's wrong? The Lions men's team is playing at Gold Coast. What's wrong with playing before that and having a doubleheader virtually?
Well, the only issue is, it's, I think because of the TV rights, the girls are actually playing at 1 o'clock and the boys don't come on till 7. So we're trying to work with the AFL to see if we can get that a bit closer because it's going to be difficult for people to get down there. The girls' game will be finished at 3 and then there's like a four-hour gap. So there's a little bit, Marto, you'd know, with broadcasting. It's a lot of these get locked in. Yeah, that's right. They get locked in and it's a bit difficult. But we're still really hopeful. The government's been terrific, going to put on buses and trains and getting people down there. So we still hope that we get a lot of people down. I mean, the Suns, people have said that they'll, you know, support the Queensland team that's in it. So, yeah, they should have a big big supporter base down there, which is great.
Are you telling me they would have got 25,000 at the Gabba?
Absolutely.
Based on what? Haven't they only been getting 4,000 out of Brendale and stuff?
Yeah, that's why, though. We've only been able to play at a suburban ground. All the stuff that's happening online, all the people you've run into, we thought it was going to be massive. But, we're on the front page again today, the Courier Mail. We don't get on the front page very often, and the only reason we do is because of the girls. So it's been massive.
It's a novelty.
The inaugural one would have been great.
But just to confirm, it wouldn't have mattered if it was the girls or the guys. The Gabba have just said no.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So it's not just about the women. It's just about the AFL in general.
That's one sounds
I think
upset.
That's the case. I mean, we play the week after our first home games against Essendon at the Gabba. And at this stage, there's going to have to be another inspection next week to hopefully prove that the thing's been fixed.
That
at this stage, it's not confirmed, but
We're hopeful it doesn't. And that's a bit that kills us, because after Adele, there was some re-sowing of the ground, which was done in preparation for cricket season, which, you know, the test isn't until middle of November. So that was the bit that had us a bit perplexed.
All right, if we're going to have the Gabba as such a multi-use stadium, we're going to have to schedule it better, or whatever they call it, Greg Swan, because it just, you know, we can't keep having this situation. If this keeps happening every year, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy to only have one stadium for everything like that. And if they can't, if not everyone can go and play their games that they need to, well, then we're just going to start losing money eventually, surely.
Yeah, and I think, look, and I think you're right. You've hit on a good point. I mean, the Adele concert was fantastic, so you want more of those things. But if it's going to affect the other tenants there, being, you know, maybe, you know, cricket and certainly us, you know, they've got to reschedule. As it turns out, I mean, most of the stadiums around Australia are having, you know, 50 and 60 events, and we have less than 20 at the Gabba. No. So it's just, you know, we just need to use it more. It's a great public asset.
That
all got sorted out. I'll put you on the case here and see if you can get it.
Happy to be there, mate. I've got an electric mower I can use. Very happy to be there.
He's your guy.
Hey, Swanee, can you tell me what the girls have done? I've watched a few of the games. It's not electric footy, mate, and it is a novelty that's been the thing, and good on them and everything else. What has it done for the Brisbane Lions?
Look, it's given us a whole lot of new members. We've got different sponsors coming to the club. You know, we're winning, which has given us great publicity in the off-season. So, they've been a godsend for us. And I think as the comp's gone on, it's actually the standards got better. So, you know, and they're short quarters, so people say, they don't score much, but they're only playing 15 minutes with no time on. So they probably only play about half the time that the men play. So they've done a great job. And, you know, as I said, it's been incredibly popular, really successful for us, and opened up a whole lot of new doors that we didn't have any exposure to.
All right, Greg Swan, Brisbane Lions CEO. Good to speak to you, mate. Let's hope we're speaking throughout the year as the Lions get a couple of wins.
That'll be great. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, boys, I want to talk about Married at First Sight, but I want to get it from a male perspective, because there is something that's happening and I genuinely don't understand, and I don't know the answer to this. Okay, so we're at the final stages. So all the couples are now being faced with the idea that they take their relationship out of the experiment and go into their real lives. So it's the final commitment ceremony. They meet alone and they say whether they want to stay or want to go. So last night we had two couples, and it was Vanessa and Andy, you know, the big fella Andy, who was the ex-army guy.
He's got a bit of post-traumatic stress disorder, I reckon.
Yes, and he got king hit a couple of years ago.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, then the other one is Simon, who's the Ipswich bloke, and his chick Alini. But what's happening with both of these couples is that both of the women are upset about the men's inability to actually say how they feel. So this is what Vanessa had to say to Andy.
Our final date was the last opportunity to talk about anything in our relationship that was playing on our minds. I brought up that I'd like to know at the time when you need time out, as I'm not a mind reader. Relationships are about compromise, and I feel I've tried to adapt to your communication style, but I'm unsure how much you've tried to adapt to mine.
Slightly harsh, I will say, as I watched it come through. But my question is this. Honestly, why do men struggle so much with how to express their feelings to a woman?
Oh, I don't struggle. I think that woman talks too much. That's my feeling.
Can you play the grab again?
Yeah. You listen to all the words that come out and how quickly they come out, and you get a bloke who's an enormous man who was a soldier. He doesn't want to listen to this.
Our final date was the last opportunity to talk about anything in our relationship that was playing on our minds. I brought up that I'd like to know at the time when you need time out, as I'm not a mind reader. Relationships are about compromise, and I feel I've tried to adapt to your communication style, but I'm unsure how much you've tried to adapt to mine.
Adapt.
Too many words. Is that what you're saying?
Well, he just wants to know what's for dinner. You know, what would you like for dinner? That's all he wants to ask and tell.
Yeah. See, there's nothing in that, Robin, that makes you want to keep talking to her.
Okay. I get that, because I thought that was harsh.
There's nothing in that. Like, the way she's saying it, the way she's kind of, I've tried to this and you that. And you just want to be like...
She said adapt twice, and that's what they try to do. They're trying to change these blokes. These blokes are in their 30s now. If you can't get a bloke by the time he's 35, he's gone too far. You can't ever tame him. And there's a reason she's single. Why hasn't she got a bloke before now? Has annoyed the hell out of him.
Do you know what? When you look at her, Robin, and when you hear her, do you think, what do you make of what she's saying?
Okay, so the second time you just asked me to listen to it, right? I actually stopped and went, oh, okay, there are a lot of words there. And if I was trying to follow every single one, like I guess a bloke is, that would be hard. I'm starting to understand that process, but what I ask you as a service to all women who are single and trying to get guys, what do you, Don't say that. What do you say to get them to express how they feel?
Well, just be...
why do you need to?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's pretty
simple.
Why
do you need to?
Because we're women.
We're hungry or we're cold. Like, just
I love you.
Yeah.
That's it?
There you go.
Yeah.
None of them have said that.
Listen, there's an old saying, and it's what I've lived my life on. Stay shallow, be happy. Don't get too deep. That's when the problems start, Robin, really.
No. But I understand that we have to adapt to the way that you operate. But at some point, you have to come onto our side. And as a woman, I'll tell you that we need to know how you guys feel. So all you're telling me is the three words that is enough is I love you.
Or I'm happy. I'm good.
I'm happy. Yeah, exactly. Tiff and I are always, we laugh a lot. You know, we have arguments, but then we get over it. And we just, our baseline is we're just going to enjoy our life together and have, you know, and have the best, whatever the situation is, do the best thing that we can in that situation. She doesn't need to continuously ask me, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? Hungry. How are you feeling? Well, I was watching this. How are you feeling? Like, it's just, she doesn't need to because she knows, you know? So we can just get on about talking about something else.
Why do women always want to be a psychologist? Why don't they go and do it professionally if that's important to
because
them?
Because we innately need to know that the bloke that we're committed to is going to love us and protect us and be there for us. And I don't mean in a submissive way, but we do need that affirmation. We do.
Well,
that's
I'm here, aren't I? That's a common thing. Like, that's that big, tall bloke. That's what he'd say. Well, I'm here. You can rely on him every single day.
Okay, so we just need to pare back our expectation. If you turn up...
But isn't that the same with everything in life? Lower your expectation and you won't get disappointed so often.
Well, that's what I find if I tune into Married at First Sight. The problem is I just can't lower my expectations low enough to enjoy the program. As just when I think, am I low enough to enjoy this rubbish? No, I've got to lower it further.
And that's why they put the cricket on, because our expectations, we think, we're never going to beat India. We're going to get done here. This is how this is where we were last night. We were watching India. And I sometimes watch Married at First Sight. Last night, India versus Australia, fifth day was on. You'd think it might be boring. My expectations were so low. It was a draw. After 5 days of cricket, it was a draw, and I was ecstatic.
Okay, so keep it simple, stupid.
And you know what? Peter Hanscom never once asked Sean Marsh how he was feeling. Never once.
If I'd been there, I'd give it a crack.
Live eyewitness radio going on. What's happening, Mark, where you are?
Yeah, well, news on the ground is I've just spotted him at Merthyr Shopping Centre at a coffee shop, cozying up over a latte with another chick.
Vanessa.
Not Vanessa, definitely not Vanessa.
What do you mean by cozying up?
Sharing a spoon.
Oh, well, sharing a euphemism, mate.
He means really sharing a spoon.
Wow.
So they only had enough money for one cup.
Well, maybe. They look pretty close.
Yeah, because as we left it last night, they both, Vanessa and Andy, chose to stay with each other.
I know, it's over.
Yeah, obviously it's over.
Andy's moved on. He's gone out into the real world and he's now a famous bloke from TV and he's picked someone up. Mark, is that your reading of it?
Yes, definitely.
And were they talking, Mark? Sorry, Ed.
Yeah, he seemed to be talking. So, yeah, there must be something in it.
He's got one.
Hey, Mark, that means that there's a spare. That means that, what's her name?
Vanessa.
Robin? Vanessa, that means that Vanessa is now spare. Just go to a local motel and see if she's there with Richard Wilkins.
Nah, when they were in Brisbane, he was after Nadia.
Can you do that for me, Marky? Give Mark a prize, please, for being a little detective.
Mate, you're going to the Brisbane Roar, taking on the victory Saturday night. Ticketek.com.au for tickets. On your mark.
Oh, awesome. Thank you very much.
Just am I allowed to ask one further question to our eyewitness, Roy? Tell me, the clothes they're on, were they together last night or were they meet up from different directions today?
No, they had their gym gear on.
What does that mean?
What
to
does that mean?
They've met at the gym.
Yep.
Are you Mark from the show?
No,
are you Andy from the show? Yeah. Do you want to have a coffee? Yeah, good.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, next thing you know, sharing a spoon. Yep, all right. It's all over for them. Great reporting, Mark, from New Farm.
I've got to leave this show and share a spoon with someone.
Hello. Marto, Ed and Robin returning tomorrow 5:30. We'll catch you then on Triple M.